Well, good morning, everybody. God bless you all for being here. I have missed one Sunday Mass in my life, only one, although I imagine there might have been a couple when I was a brand new newborn. But ever since my first month birthday, I suppose, or second, I've only missed one in my life. It was Mom's fault. But I remember many a snowstorm, but that never was an excuse for the Kuchar family. We came nonetheless. So God smiles at your faith that brought you here. I have two thoughts. And the first thought is about miracles. Because our first miracle today is recorded. The first miracle that Jesus ever worked is recorded in our gospel today. It took place at a wedding. You know, you might think that when the big miracle worker, Jesus, would come, that he would do his first miracle in some grandiose big thing, you know, like building a huge cathedral or something along those lines. But no, his first miracle was a very simple one, and it happened in the course of everyday life, and it happened at a wedding. People got married all the time back then, just as they get married all the time now. And it was a normal kind of event. And we know the story that here they were, the wine had run out. And now in those days, a wedding party, you had the ceremony, but then the party lasted 3 days. It took a lot of wine to keep the people happy. And usually you'd, of course, always serve the nice wine first because, well, frankly, people weren't drunk yet. And it didn't bother them later when the worse wine came. And they couldn't really taste the difference, you know, 2 days later. But here Jesus, of course, not only manufactures some wine, but he makes the best wine, and it's overflowing to the brim. It's the nature of God's miracles. And I don't suppose it is a coincidence at all that Mother Mary is interceding at the very first miracle that Jesus ever worked, that we have evidence of in the scriptures. It's no coincidence that Blessed Mother was there. She doesn't work the miracle. Jesus works the miracle. But it's because Mother Mary interceded. So it is today, still down all the ages. Blessed Mother intercedes for us all the time. But anyway, I was kind of thinking about miracles. And a week ago right now, I was probably about mile number 21 right now. And I was thinking about you all as I glanced at my watch. And I thought, oh man, I wish I were at Mass right now and not here. But I managed to finish that thing, and it was very exhilarating. I will tell you, the first 10 miles flew by, and then, you know, then it got a little more painful, but by God, I kept on going. Mile 20, it's like all my body parts conspired with each other against my soul. And I was just kind of like, my left foot started killing me, my ankle, my right knee, and I couldn't find a part of my body that didn't hurt for a while. But I managed to finish the thing. But then anyway, then the next day and a half, my friends and I, we went to all four parks, Disney World. I kind of fell in love with Disney World. I fell in love with the concept of Disney World. And the whole dream of Walt Disney. So I read his biography on the way home. And it really floored me, this guy, who had a dream to put miracles in people's lives. And as I was reading about this first miracle in our gospel today and thinking about that, I was thinking about the amazing thing that you and I can be the miracle in somebody's life. We can set off a dream in somebody and change their life forever. And God knows who we need to do that for, because that's the people that he put in our life. And we can be a miracle, and we can set off a miracle, just like Walt Disney set off a whole domino effect of miracles in the course of his life. His goal was to awaken the dreamer, not just in children, but in everybody. He said, what good is it if I awaken the dreamer in the kid, but not the parent? He said, then it might as well not have happened, because the parents raised the kid. I always feel the same way about faith. If I can't put faith in the parents, then it's not going to be lost on the kids too, because the parents get to raise the kid, not me. And that's what his goal was, to put this fire, this dream, the whole ethos, the whole like atmosphere of dreams into these kids' lives and hearts and their parents' also. It's hard to imagine life without Disney. You know, movies, all the movies that have been done and the places and the things. It's a miracle what happened. And he always said, Walt Disney said, we must never forget that all of this started because of a mouse, Mickey Mouse, a little creature that he had drawn when he was a younger person. He failed a lot before that dream came to pass, but boy, did it come to pass. And so that's my first thought. As we think about this miracle, the first miracle of Jesus, and we think about Walt Disney, we think about miracles happen, and you and I can set off dreams in people. We can be the miracle that people need. So think about your life. Maybe there's somebody in there that needs a miracle. Well, that can be you. My second thought was about our first reading and our second reading, and about my recent trip to, I got back from Disney World and was here for a day and a half, got a whole bunch of things done, and then boom, goes the dynamite. I went off again with our youth to the March for Life. And we got back there yesterday, a little earlier than planned because of the weather. But we were there and together with not quite 500,000 other people, but it was a significant showing. And it was every year there's, since the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade in 1973, there's been what's called a March for Life that takes place in Washington, D.C. And it takes place because of that horrible Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion. And Roe versus Wade is an interesting phenomenon because it's said that no state can make a law saying that abortion is illegal for the first two trimesters of a woman's pregnancy. Well, that's 24 weeks. So for 24 weeks, no state can say it's wrong and illegal to kill that child. There's plenty of places that are trying to go even further than that. I just read last week that New York is trying to do that. And, you know, in New York City, it's illegal, I think, to use a plastic straw. But it's legal to slaughter a child who's 35 weeks old in the womb, isn't there? That's what they're hoping for. Horrible. Just shows you how screwed up we are as a country, frankly. But Roe versus Wade, Roe was the name of a woman whose actual name was Norma McCloskey. Norma McCloskey went to court because she was 21. She had a baby inside, and she didn't want one. But she couldn't do anything about it, so she decided to go to the courts. Wade was a man named Henry Wade. He was the district attorney. And anyway, that case went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, go ahead, away with the child. Set off a terrible thing. Norma McCloskey, by the way, Roe, is deeply repentive of that. She's had a big conversion where she realized how horrible it was and how it destroyed her life, what she had done. And so she goes around the country now in speaking for the pro-life movement, the cause of pro-life. We must fight for life. We must be the voice of those who have no voice. They don't have a voice, you know, but they do have a heart. The heart starts beating at 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks. Life starts at the very beginning, right away. And those babies don't have a voice, but they have a heart, they have fingers, they have heads, they have membranes, they have life, they have a soul. And because they don't have a voice, we are their voice. And that's our first reading. Isaiah says, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. So long as this is going on, I will speak on behalf of the cause of goodness and truth and life. And that's what we continue to do as the beautiful church today. Tomorrow is the feast. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. He has a great niece who wrote a book about the legacy of her uncle Martin. And in this book, she talks about the legacy that he left behind of justice and peace and life. And the title of her book is, How Can the Dream Survive? And the subtitle, If We Continue to Murder Our Children. And she talks about how abortion really is the civil rights issue of our day. And we're sometimes blinded to it because we often think that abortion is preventing a life from coming about, when in reality, it's doing away with a life that is already there. And so she writes this book and she says, you know, I pray and hope, she says, that one day we'll look back on abortion just as now we look back at slavery and think, how were we ever so stupid? How were we ever so wrong? And we look back at the Holocaust and we say, how could humanity have ever done that? It is the civil rights issue of our day. And I guess it's because humanity is being denied an entire class of people. Just as once we denied the humanity of Jews, we once rejected the Supreme Court, even made rulings about slavery and how, anyway, we as a church have always stood and said, no, we support humanity. And that's what we continue to do today. And so we ask God to help us to cherish the gift of life and to continue to fight for it. Many good things are being done by our church in life, and the March for Life is one example. But the Knights of Columbus are doing many good things. They are providing ultrasounds. And you know, 98% of women when they see, I just heard this statistic, 98% of women when they see their baby in an ultrasound who are there for an abortion will not have one. And so we're making enormous strides, but we're not there yet. And we have got to pray for it, work for it, voice for it, vote for it, all of those things, because life matters. Life matters. Our first reading, it says that God delights in us. He delights in every human being, which means He willed each one of us. He loved each one of us into existence and delights in each one of us. It's a shame to think about how many ones there have been who never got to see the light of day because they were torn out and put in a jar that would be discarded. Our second reading says that we're all parts of the same body. It's one of Paul's greatest favorite themes. We're all parts of the same thing, you know. And when one is suffering and when one is threatened, the rest come to the rescue. And that's exactly what we do. So those two are my thoughts. We pray that we can be miracles for people, that we can have the eyes to see all the miracles that happen in our lives. And we pray that we will support life from conception to natural death, and that we will fully live our own lives, because that is perhaps the best witness that we can give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.